listening to the Abide podcast. To find out more about Abide, go to abidechurchfl.com and enjoy today's message.
Oh, let's open up our Bibles to Psalm 139. I really feel the fear of the Lord. I had my wife pray. I was like, you know, we get so worried about doing things and God leaving. Like, since God has began to, like, touch us, how many of you were here last Sunday? We felt like last Sunday was a measure of what we've been praying for years. Not all that we've been praying for, but we felt like for years, and now I think the temptation is to wonder if it's going to lift or go. I really want to give language. This is the main reason I just want to share 15 minutes on. I believe that we are in the beginning of something that's not going to stop. The only thing that can stop what God's doing is us not participating in it. Are you alive? I need you to catch this because I feel like this is a pivotal moment for us to just come into agreement. And I have one agenda for us today. Obviously, always to encounter Jesus, for Jesus to touch you. But the second thing would be for us as a people to come into agreement and covenant that we're not going back. I don't know what adjustments. I only really need a few. Because I know that just a few of us that will continue to go the distance will cause it to snowball. So for a few people, I know this is going to be a couple of week thing. People are going to experience glory. They're going to feel a little stirring, but it's going to go right back to life as normal. We saw that with COVID. We saw there was a shaking and then right back to normal. But I'm believing that God is releasing a fresh zeal and a fresh desire to never go back. Now, when I say never go back, you think, well, can we never just open up the word and preach? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we're never going back to an apathetic, just going through life blah. We're never going. We've been here all week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we were here for 24 hours. And I just want to say for those that didn't know, we've been about this life. This isn't a new thing. We've had prayer rooms going for 30 hours for months and months now. What God is doing in this season is he is increasing our desire to be in his presence. He's increasing our desire to touch him. And there's an accessibility. How many of you have felt that? There's an accessibility. If there's anything that Asbury did, it was it awakened a desire. If God can do that in Kentucky, and it is in the middle of nowhere I went, he could do it anywhere. You also realize that there wasn't anything spectacular or sexy about it. It is just a group of people gathered in a room that refuse to quit. They refuse to relent. They're going to pursue God with all of their heart. They're going to repent when repentance is necessary. They're going to believe God for the supernatural, but it's just going to be a consistent reaching towards God. So somebody's like, well, what did you feel like? What did you feel in Asbury? I felt like God is beginning to pour out across our nation and the globe a hunger and a desire where it's going to be more abnormal for you to not be hungry. It's going to expose something. I'm not saying this to make anybody. I'm just saying if you're not carrying this hunger and this desire, it's going to start to feel like what's wrong. I know it used to be the other way. We used to be the weird people, the hungry. It's not that way anymore. You're going to begin to go from place to place to place to place, and it's going to be a hunger and a desire. Not because we waited a little bit longer in worship. Not because we hit the right swells with the right melody to the right song. I think that's some of what we have to be delivered from. The spirit of performance. Some of you are like, well, we stopped worship. God left. Stop that. You follow the cloud, you follow the pillar of fire, and you be delivered from that fear. God wants to touch us more than we want to be touched by God. So we follow his leadership, we surrender and we yield, and we come under what he is doing. Now for years we have spent, if you know in this room, we have spent months and years crying out for revival. And for a season we were like, God, I don't understand why. Why don't we feel like we can push through that thing? And what I really felt happen last Sunday as I was processing with the Lord is he began to deposit into us the seed that will continue to be to birth what we believe is a third great awakening. Now, you may not have faith for that, but I mark my words, it's happening. You'll either watch it happen or you'll be a part of it happening, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And right now, I don't know, bro, we're going to see what happens. It's irrelevant what happens in Kentucky. Whether Kentucky stops or doesn't stop, bro, it's irrelevant. When a people have chosen to steward, and I felt that when I was there, I felt like the Lord said, hey, now it's on you guys. You guys, meaning the thousands in the room, to carry this across the nation. and to refuse to go back to just living life as normal. I'm not telling you to quit your 40-hour job. I'm not telling you to abandon ship. I'm asking you, is God center? Is God center? Where is God on your list of priorities? Like when he's calling us, what is he asking you to let go of, and what is he asking you to add into your life? So for years, I felt like that Hannah. How many of you know in 1 Samuel 1, there's this woman called Hannah who the Bible says the Lord had made her barren. Like, oh no, God would never do that. That's what the Bible says. God closed her womb. And what we see in this season of barrenness, of her not being able to have access to all that her heart desires, is it produced a cry in her. I felt it so deep, like, God, we've been crying out. But what that season of barrenness did is it gave her the proper heart to steward it when it came. It being Samuel. And I feel like we're there. This will be the test. Now that God is beginning to give us access to hunger, what are you going to do when Samuel actually comes? This is what we're all being confronted with. Right here, right now. I know you've cried out. I know you've wanted and you've longed for presence. Man, on Monday night, I was playing basketball. It's just a part of my flow. I got to go give Pastor Marcus to business for 2 hours. He said, don't lie. I'm sitting. I had played a couple games, and the Lord was on my jump shot. Am I lying, Marcus? He was on it. He was moving. And then I sat down, and this thought hit me. Literally, I wasn't playing. This thought hit me, you've been crying out for an outpouring and you're playing basketball? I grabbed my, because people were in this room praying, unplanned. They were just in here. And I got in my Honda. I didn't even say bye to nobody. I got in my Honda. I was going 110 down the road. Because it's like we're at this moment of decision. Where I'm not just going to ask for Curtis to come 4 days a week and linger and pray and believe. He's inviting us all as a company of priests to come before him. But again, it's one thing for us to cry out for it. It's another thing to properly ascribe value and respond when it's here. I want to say law. Think about it. Now that God has begun to pour out his presence across the nation, across churches all across Tampa Bay, my question for you this morning is, what will be your response? Now, if God wants to do it, then he'll just do it. I don't know. If God just wanted to split the sea, I bet you he could have done it without Moses raising a staff. If God wanted to kill Goliath, I bet you he could have done it without the sling and the stone. All throughout the Bible, what you see is God responding to the obedience of those standing on the other side. And I'm just wondering if, like, there is a company of people. Like, I'm just wondering that God, as God blows upon us, that we're not going, oh, man, here it's 11:46. Praise God, 14 minutes to finish. And so what I'm trying to go after, even in my own heart, is I believe we've cried out for something, but we don't really know what it means to what we're crying out for. The implications of what we're crying out for. Like, for God, for real. If this is really, really, I don't want to look above you. I want to look at you. If this is really going to happen, God's going to deal with things like pornography, with the way you talk to your wife, with the way you talk to your kids, with the way you spend your money. You want revival? This is what he's going to deal with. I was at Asbury, and I know there's no live stream. They did an altar call, and this was the altar call. God is asking you to die. The girl stood up and testified, I used to be about my own life. Everything was about me and my preference and my desires and my dreams and my wants and my longings and my and my and my and my. And then one day God said, I want you to die. The room was quiet. And then she stands up, and this is a room primarily full of young people. I mean, all age, 1,000 people. The altar call was this, how many of you are ready to die? Now, I know that's not revival talk, because revival talk is fire, glory, wind, manifestations. But I'm telling you, the primary hindrance of all of that is our inability to deal with things that are a heart issue. It's our response and our continued longing. But here's what I know. God is birthing radical humility, purity, and hunger. Radical humility, purity, and hunger. It's what's being birthed. A radical humility where we get out of the way when God's moving. A radical purity where we're not calling religion things God calls holiness. We're not calling it striving. We're going all the way with God. And the Bible says this in Matthew 6, blessed are those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, for they will be satisfied. They will be filled. That's why we say with assurance, God is wanting for those who are hungry to come, because it's not my promise, it's His. And God always keeps His word. I want to say a few other things I believe that God's doing, and then I want to read Psalm 139, and then we're going to pray. Can we go there? I believe God is delivering us from the controlling spirit. Now, for those of you that just felt yourself manifest, I'm serious about this. You think a controlling spirit only manifests on a Sunday morning with a schedule? A controlling spirit looks like this. God, you do move how I want you to move or how I expect you to move. And if you don't, a controlling spirit tries to put language. This has been the most grieving thing this whole week. Everybody trying to describe Asbury. Assess whether it's revival or not. On one side, we've spent months crying out, God, pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. And on the other side, now we've become revival experts. Everybody knows how God really moves. And when you walk into a room as a spectator wanting to assess, you lose your ability to come under what God is doing. Nobody invited you to a show to assess. We're gathering around the presence of Jesus. And listen, when God moves, it's messy. But God is delivering us of this critical spirit, this control spirit, the keyboard warriors that have something passive aggressive to say against everyone. And He's baptizing us in love. And He's baptizing us in grace. Where those one people that we used to think and talk about passive aggressively, God's going to begin to break our hearts for them. We're going to begin to be in these rooms and He's going to grip us because He loves them and He cares for them and He desires them. So I'm going to be honest. I went to Asbury and it wasn't loud, but it was holy. I just rolled up in there with those Methodists and I just closed my eyes. Somebody started speaking in tongues a little loud. They told him to be quiet. I said, it's okay. There's grace for that. Some people would have been offended. That's not revival. That's not stop. There's grace. God's here. God's more grieved at your predisposition to that than He is about that. He's delivering us of this critical spirit, and He is reintroducing us to the God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. I want to reorient us just for a moment, because as we continue to go after this, everybody's going to start to measure what God is doing by the amount of activity in the doing. Instead of, is the person at the center? Is He still healing? Is He still restoring? Is He still reviving? That's why Destiny made the claim, we've got to give Him proper glory and honor. When she just said she was depressed for 2 years. Suicidal and wanted to die. And last Sunday, God delivered her. She sent me a message weeping. God delivered me. That's not a light thing. And treating that as common is the greatest way. It is the greatest hindrance where God will lift and go, I'll go somewhere where they properly. Do you feel that? It's not about hype. It's about properly ascribing value. Do you have any idea how God feels about you? Any idea? Like, we've lost reverence in the church and the fear of the Lord, but this God, His intentionality towards you is massive. The value that God puts on you. We're in the process right now of buying a house. And pray for us. And we're looking and we're going to places. And you know what? There is a person who places a valued assessment on a house. But the reality is, it doesn't matter what price that person puts on. The true value of that house is what somebody's willing to pay for it.
You could build a house. You could put $900,000 on it. Good on you. Do your assessment. But until somebody walks up and says, that's worth $900,000, it's worth nothing. Now think about the price that was paid for your life. That's your value, because I know people have devalued, they've said things about you, they've put language on you, they've hurt you, they've betrayed you. But beyond all of that, think about the value that was ascribed for you as God ransomed heaven's best for you. Yes. Now that only gets a yes from Curtis because he sits and he weeps for hours in this room. And the reality of the cross and the blood of Jesus becomes real. But for those of us, when I say God is delivering us, we've heard the gospel message so much that the cross no longer moves us. We're more moved by the word revival than the cross and the blood of Jesus. And so it's no wonder that people just sit in rooms with demons, because demons are not moved by the word revival. They're not moved by tongues. They're not moved by miracles. They're moved by the person of Jesus having proper authority. And so for the 80s and 90s, the question everybody was asking the church is, how do we get people to come to church? They sent out surveys and polls. What do we have to do for that person that doesn't want God to want me? How can we make it most comfortable for you? And the Bible is clear. You reap what you sow. So the reaping of that sowing was people who come to church and say, well, tell me about the youth. Tell me about the kids. How quick could you get me in and out? Don't make me uncomfortable. Don't talk about sexuality. Don't talk about sin. Don't talk about hell. Don't talk about the end times. And what we're left with is a form of godliness, but no power. I see the container, and on the outside it's clean, but on the inside. And so in reaction to that, we all come to church and we know how to play it nice. I'm good, bro. How are you? I'm great. I'm great. My marriage is about to fall apart, but bro, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed, bro. I go to bed at night and I hate my life, but here I am, Lord. I will give you all my worship. And this is the game we play. And that God begins to move on us and we begin to feel tears and our hearts begin to become tender and we stop because we're more worried about what Chucho thinks than God. This is what he's delivering us. I just want to give you language. So as God begins to draw you and move on you, you can be broken free from the condemnation and the guilt and say, God, I give you all of my heart. Now, the God that you're responding to, you may have an idea or an image of who he is, but that's why I want to take us to Psalm 139, because I want you to understand who we're singing about, who we're worshiping, and who we're giving our whole yes to. Because we're not giving our yes to revival, we're giving our yes to a person. The people God is entrusting with revival are a people that have right things in right place. You good? Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me. Think about that. God, you have searched me, and you've searched me thoroughly, and you know me. Why can we pray for things like aloneness and depression to go? Because we serve a God who knows us. He knows us. This is not some distant God. It says, Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, my entire life, everything I do, you know it. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down. You are intimate. Listen to this. You are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. That's how I know that the only difficulty with me responding to God in regards to my shortcomings is you, because God already knows them. Me coming to God has nothing to do with whether God knows or not. I'm not revealing something to God. The main hindrance in people responding to God is the fear of the person to your left and your right. It's to look good. Matter of fact, let's just pray right now. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would break this off of your church. Even now, God, as we make space for you, Father, we pray that you break the fear of man off of your church, that you break the religiosity, God. Everything that was sown in the 80s and the 90s, from seeker sensitive to trying to attract what would be called an attractional church, God, we ask that you break it off, even in this room. God, for those that have felt hidden, that have felt alone, that have felt exposed, that have felt forgotten, God, we ask for grace in Jesus' name to respond to your drawing, to your leadership, to your calling. God, we're asking you to reap from fields that you have sown. We serve a God who knows us, and he knows us intimately. Not only does he know some of our ways, he knows all of our ways. So why not come? Even before there is a word on my tongue still unspoken, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me. I want to say this to you. For those of you that feel like the dark soul of night, this is for you. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you have placed your hand of blessing upon me. Say, that's me. Again, that's me. That's me. You have enclosed me before me and behind me, and you have placed your blessing, your hand of blessing upon me. Therefore, the enemy cannot touch me. What kind of devil can come past God before me, God behind me, and his hand upon me? There's none. The answer is there's none. There's none. There's none. That's why there's an assurance today that there is deliverance. Such infinite knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high above me. I cannot reach it. So this speaks to us, God, you know me. Just close your eyes for a second. I want your spirit to catch that. God, you know me. God, you know me. We just break every lie right now of you feeling forgotten, bypassed, and looked over. You are the God who knows us. This is deliverance. Oh. You are the God who knows us. In the midst of anxiety, of depression, of pain, of anger, you are the God who knows us. That's why verse 7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. Behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn and I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will take hold of me. If I say, here's for all of you who have prophesied negativity over your life. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the night will be the only light around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. What does that mean? If I say to myself, the darkness is covering me, he's like, even darkness isn't dark for you, because wherever you are, there is light. I've never seen light war with darkness. Ever. I've never seen the battle. When you flip a switch, what happens? Darkness goes. I prophesy that over you. I know the pit of despair. I know. You have all the reasons not to believe, yet he is the God of light. I know what's being prophesied to you. I went to bed last night and I had a dream and I heard the voice of the accuser. It was a whisper. As I was thinking about Psalm 139, I'm very aware that there are whispers in your ear that says, he'll do it for Gabby, but he's not going to do it for you. You've already responded to that altar call. You've already been in the revival meeting. You've experienced more. Just give up. It's not going to happen. And just a little door opened through the whispers for hope deferred, and now your heart is sick. You're bitter, you're angry, you're closed off, you're mad at the church. God loves the church. God loves the church. Doesn't matter what you feel, he loves. It is his plan. He's not coming back for just a little group of remnant in the living room that are woke. He's coming back for the church. capital C church. So that Methodist you've been hating on, the Baptist, the Catholic, they're going to be in heaven. You're going to be like, whoa, whoa. They're going to be there because they love Jesus. And they have found that wherever they are, there he is. Wherever I am, there he is. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? No matter where I go, where I put my bed, no matter what life throws at me, one thing I learned in the darkest moment of my life, when we lost two kids, my wife was depressed, I was in the middle of pornography and everything, God was there. God was there. I want you to hear, I don't know who it's for in the room, but bro. B-R-O, bro. God is in the middle of your mess. It's why we're lingering. You can have the hardest heart. He's just going to continue to just come after that thing. For those of you with parents, it's just going to continue to come after that thing. I was that kid. I was in a youth group with 1,000 kids. I was the kid that was only there for girls, and I was the guy that was going to cuss you out. One day I'm in a service, all of the lights flash towards me. The youth pastor stops, and for 10 minutes he's talking to me. This is the God we serve. He's intentional. He's the God who knows us. He's the God who is present. Do you hear? Psalm 139 is prophesying to this to us. This is what I want you to understand. I'm all for the revival. Listen, it's one of our pillars. Revival is one of our four pillars. Presence, family, revival, prayer. It's one of our, but if we make it about revival, we lose all of it. Because it's all about a person. It's all, look at me. It's all about a person. It's about our hearts being gripped by a person. It's about the people out there hearing about this person. It's not about how loud we can get. It's not about how much activity we can have. I have found this week, as we've been in this room, the less people there are in the room, the more potent the presence is. It's so opposite, man. Gabby was getting wrecked in here with like five people the other day. My staff is the whole problem. Now, we feel in our Americanized, Westernized, the more people in the room, the more God and more presence. The more obedience, the more holiness, the more hunger, the more desire, you begin to feel it. So what's happening at Asbury? Here's what I believe is happening. People like you, hungry people like you. I know many of you guys almost bought flights. You were like, many people like you heard that something was happening. And when you get 1,000 people like that in one room, anything is possible. Now that is what I'm believing God for. A people that will do anything and everything to lay hold of the person of Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? Because I know you heard revival. I'm not rebuking. I'm not being hard on that, man. I want it. But I want to bring us to the centrality of the person of Jesus and his cross. Because in a moment, when I say to you, I want us to make covenant to never go back, I want you to understand what the covenant is unto. It's not unto a series of meetings. It's not unto which church has the most stuff going on. It's unto God. I'm shifting it all. I'm shifting it all to lay hold of you. Because you have placed value upon me. And I just feel the holiness of the Lord. Jesus, we're asking you to take center stage. Do you feel him?
in our families, in our parenting. That everything would bow low at the weight of your presence. That you would restore the fear of the Lord. God, that you would produce a Hannah cry. God, we've been very long in dry and desolate land. We're asking you for rivers of living water to flow. We're asking you for fresh bread, not stale bread, fresh bread. Fresh bread. God, we desire you. We're asking you for something that only the Spirit could impart. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. So, Father, we're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking. Your word says, delight yourself in the Lord, and I will give you the desires of your heart. I want to read one more scripture and then pray. Let's just stay in this moment. I just feel like this is what God is saying. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked leave behind his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have compassion and mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens and the earth are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Before we make covenant with the Lord, I feel like I just have to do it again. I have to ask if there's anyone in the room that is not right with Jesus. I'm going to ask you to borrow courage and not leave this building. This doesn't mean that you're going to be exposed, but this means I'm making a decision to be made right. If there's any separation, man, I feel like to be bold and just ask you to stand. Just right now across the room, if that's you, we're just going to pray. It's fine. This is family. We celebrate what Jesus is doing right now. Just across the room, just stand up and we're going to pray for you as family. Men, it's time to be done with the hidden sin. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? It's time for men to be priests of their homes. It's time for us to walk in unity. It's time to put childish things like pornography behind us and all of the little things. Anyone else need to stand so we can pray? Just all across the room. If there's someone next to you, let's just put a hand. Then we're going to pray together. Father, we thank you for boldness. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for grace right now. Father, we receive grace. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us. It frees us from bondage and sin. It frees us from the yoke of oppression. God, for those in the room that need to receive forgiveness, God, we ask for forgiveness. We just say, forgive us, Lord, for our shortcomings. Forgive us for creating distance. Forgive us from giving ourselves to things that cause us to wander. We confess we need you. We are nothing without you. That is our confession, that we need you. We have fallen short and we need you. We need you. Bless these ones that have stood up and have chosen to walk in a different way. Cover them with the blood of Jesus. Cover them, Lord.
Before we make covenant, I felt like the Lord wanted me to share something with you guys in regards to hunger. And he reminded of me of when we were missionaries in Africa. We got to go into the bush, and people would all often ask us, like, were you ever afraid? Were you fearful? And we lived in Mexico, and like we would literally be like face-to-face with cartel, sicario, and I was never afraid. But the one time I felt very fearful was when we were in the bush of Africa, and I was amongst a lot of hungry people. We went to the bush. They had never even seen white people before, and they would come up and they would rub our skin because they didn't understand our skin color. And I remember we were in line and we started feeding them, and the desperation for food was something I've never seen. To the point I was so scared for my life, I threw food and just ran because I didn't know what was going to happen to me. And I feel like the Lord is inviting us into true desperation. So I'm going to read Psalm 102 to you, which is the cry of the destitute. That true desperation is going to hit the body of Christ, and we're going to actually know what it looks like to hunger and thirst after him. That it wouldn't just be cute vocabulary that we say or rhetoric, but it would actually mean something. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in my day of trouble. Incline your ear to me. I call, answer me. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned. My heart is stricken and it's withered. I forgot to eat my bread because the sound of my groaning. My bones cling to my skin. I am like a pelican in the wilderness. I lie awake like a sparrow alone. My enemies approach me all day. For I have eaten ashes like bread. For you have lifted me up. And you have casted me away. My days are like shadows that lengthen, and I wither like grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever. But you, O Lord, even in our desperation, shall endure forever. Jesus, right now, would you give us a holy hunger? Would you give us a fresh desperation? Would you show us what it's like to really long for you? Lord, would you kill any performance in us? Would you kill the fear of man in us, Jesus? That we would be desperate, that we would make covenant with you, that we cannot go back, because you, O Lord, shall endure forever. Our days are like a vapor, but you, O Lord, shall endure forever. Jesus, make us desperate. Oh, we need you. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Oh, Son of David, please have mercy. Please have mercy on us because we need you. We need you, Jesus. We can't go about our day-to-day lives. We need you. I need you for my children. I need you for my husband. I need you for my very next breath, Lord. We need you. Oh, Lord, make us hungry. Make us hungry, Jesus. Make us hungry, Jesus. Make us hungry, Jesus. We're not hungry. We're still too full. We're still too full of ourselves. But make us hungry, Jesus. We've tasted and we've seen Jesus. We cannot leave. To whom would we turn? To whom would we go? For you have the words of eternal life. To whom would we turn? You have the words of eternal life, Jesus.
Very simply, I just want to ask if you're here and you're like, man, I've been feeling this all week. I just want to invite us as family to just come cry out together. I just feel like it's the proper response in light of all that God has done. God, we're asking for a continued grace to cry out for you. If you're in this room and you just feel indifferent, I would encourage you to step out and come to the altar and say, God, I don't want to be this way. You're not on the outside of what God is doing. The enemy always wants to make people feel like they're on the outside. That's for the spiritual, and that's for the this, that's for the that. But for those that are hungry, we just want to pray and cry out together and even bless that hunger. God is releasing it. God, we're asking you to draw. Would you draw? Would you draw? We don't want to stay this way. God, you are our only hope. We thank you, God, for breaking the hardness of heart. We rend our hearts. Can we just get some of our team to pray with those who are around here? Even for those that are in the congregation that God's moving upon, we bless you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to just increase. Hey, if you don't feel anything, that's okay. This is not about feeling. This is about responding to God. This isn't emotionalism. This isn't like there's nothing wrong. We're just making space for our hearts to respond. Some of these people have been crying out for years for God to touch them, to restore tears, to feel again. Father, we ask that you break every spirit of control. Every spirit that would want to seek to look good. We ask for deliverance, God.
I just felt like for some in the room, probably a lot, you're sitting there and you're like, man, I really want to be hungry, but I'm just not gonna fake it. I'm just not gonna go down there and fake cry or whimper or whatever. I'm not gonna do that. But you're like, I really want it. And I feel like for some of you, you've even been watching this whole week about the Asbury thing, and you see people's response and you're just like, I love Jesus, but for some reason I'm just not there. I'm just not hungry. But there's this inner like, I would love to see what that would be like. If that's you, I just felt the Lord tell me that if you would step out in faith and actually come down, he would meet you with hunger. Because hunger can't be conjured up. It has to be given by the Lord. So that's you, just come right now in faith. If you're like, I want it, but I don't know how to get there. I don't know. I'm not gonna fake it. Come right now. Right now. Come right now. Ask the Lord for hunger. Just kneel down. Repent for any coldness of heart. And just ask the Lord, Lord, give me hunger. I long to love you. 4 years ago, I had a moment with the Lord where I realized that I did not love him adequately. And I'm like, I don't know how to love God. I don't know how to get there. So I just asked him. I said, God, teach me to love you. Teach me to love you. I prayed that for 2 years, every single day. And by the end of that 2 years, like somehow the Lord imparted love to me for him. It was beautiful. So come right now. Come on, there's still more people. If you want to have hunger in your heart, come right now. I feel like I do actually feel like you need to come down to the front. It's not going to happen in your seat. Come right now. Jesus, would you just bless these hungry ones? Bless those who even come in faith. God, that in and of itself is a measure of hunger, of desire for you. Come, Holy Spirit.
Jesus, you promised that you give us hearts of flesh for hearts of stone. So we're asking right now with our stony hearts that have turned cold towards you. Lord, would you just so gently come in with your resurrection life? Would you begin to massage us again? Till our hearts begin to beat for you. So we can feel you, Jesus. Not for an emotional experience, but something's real, Father. We want something real, something lasting. Hunger isn't pretty. It's not pretty. It's not cute. When you look at the face of hungry, it's not pretty. Jesus, give us the grace. Give us the grace to go all the way. To go all the way with you, Jesus.
I want to pray for one more. Even as I was praying for these, I just really felt to pray with those who have heard that voice. It was just so vivid last night that God was saying, as you release my nature and my character, the voice of accusation will come. I really even feel like some of it's demonic. And I really feel like God wants to deliver, but also for you to be partnered with, that you don't have to live in that place alone. It's been a season of isolation, of pain. And I just want to pray, man, if that's you, if you've just felt that, even as people are speaking, it's like this voice. Would you just let us know? Yeah, there's one right here. Anyone else? Can I get some of my prayer team right here? Anyone else? I just want to make space right here. I feel like this voice right here. It's okay. It's why we're here, right here. Come on. Can I get some of my team? Anyone else? Just put it high. We're just going to pray. Everybody goes through this. The enemy seeks to devour, and he starts with his voice of accusation against who you are and who God is. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just break every lie. We just break every lie and every accusation. We silence every voice, every demonic spirit. We just close every door. God, we ask for grace to know what open doors, so that they may be closed. Father, we pray that every voice would be silenced, but also that you would release the voice of the Holy Spirit right now. That you would release your voice of blessing, of covering, of grace, of peace, of hope, of restoration. Oh, we just bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Young lady right here with Dolly. I don't know her name. I just really feel like God wants to release his delight over you. I really feel like God is just so proud. And the misunderstandings and the accusations, even from people that have not been able to see you the way God sees you. And Father, we just pray for healing. For people who were supposed to cover and bless and encourage. We pray that you would uproot every seed. Father, we thank you that your word over her is alive. That the things you've heard from God are true. That you hear his voice and you are good. I just feel like God say, I have made you good. I have made you good. We thank you for releasing your delight. That there's grace, the grace of the Shulamite, to lean on her beloved. Thank you, Holy Father, for just releasing identity. Deep peace. Hey, listen, we're just making space for God, so there's no shame. If anybody has to slip out, we just ask that you do it reverently, but God is touching these ones. And it's holy, so if you're in here and you have grace to just pray, just stand in the gap.
Yeah, all morning I've been feeling the delight of the Lord. It's interesting that you just spoke that over this sister, but I feel what I was feeling earlier was I was in the Psalm 139 thing during worship, and then Isaiah 62 just kept pounding my heart. Psalm 18 also says that he delivers you because he delights in you. It's his kindness towards us who believe. We have entered into a realm of the kindness of the Father in this room. And whether you feel it, whether you're hearing it, whether you're looking around and going, what the heck is happening? It's okay, you're there. You're in it. You're in it because you had a yes in your heart to come to church today. If that's the level of hunger you have, then come on, amen. But I want to read this, and this is for those who have responded to many ministry moments today. God is in the ministry. But this, I want to speak this over this entire family right now. If you've been searching for a home, I just say welcome. If you've been searching for friends and family, and maybe those terms have a bad taste in your mouth, I just say welcome. We're who we are. Broken but hungry. But I want to read Isaiah 62. And as I do this, I just want to encourage you just to be in a receiving moment. I feel the host of angels in the room today. I feel the presence of the Father's heart in the room today for this, everything that's been done. But I want to read this as a source of identity, where Gia was talking about, we're stepping into a covenant moment. Let's just drink this word, eat this word for a moment together. The Lord says, it will no longer be said of you, forsaken. I speak this to your heart. If you have felt forsaken, it will no longer be said of you that you are forsaken. Nor will your land or anyone in it be desolate. But you, son and daughter, will be called, my delight is in you. The Hebrew word for that is Hephzibah. Hephzibah, my delight is in you. If you would, I just want to encourage you right now, and just say this to the Lord. Your delight is in me. Just let it be a whisper. Let it be a whatever volume. Just close your eyes. Just for a moment. This is an activation and impartation moment. Your delight is in me. Your delight is in me. And just receive the truth of that. Where at one point in your life you had not received mercy, yet you have received mercy today. At one point you may have been forsaken, but through the blood of Jesus, you are no longer forsaken or desolate. But his delight is in you. And it goes on and it says, your land will be married, Beulah. For the Lord delights in you, and to him you will be married. This is the everlasting covenant that we have with the bridegroom, is that no longer do we get to sit under the accusation of the accuser of the brethren, but we get to sit enthroned in heaven next to the Father and the Son and the power of the Spirit. So I just want to encourage you, just for another moment, just say, God, your delight is in me. You deliver me because you delight in me. You deliver me out of fear of abandonment, out of fear of rejection, out of sin, shame. You deliver me because you delight in me. Just feel there's a mind. All morning I have felt a renewing of the mind happening today, an understanding that where shame wants to point out shortcomings, that the Lord is saying, no, I delight in you. You're mine. You're mine. And we can stand in this room and say, I am dark but lovely. I am dark but lovely to you, God. So God, come kiss us with the kisses of your word, that your delight is in us. Holy Spirit, I ask, God, that you would touch hearts today with understanding, identity of being the beloved of God. The beloved of the Lord, that nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you.
phrases put into language. I love you. How can I say this? How can I phrase it? Put into language. Of you. Oh, how can I say this? How can I phrase it? Put into language. By falling on my knees, offering all of me, Jesus, you're all my heart is living for. I'm falling on.
isn't so. You still love my love song.
We're not dismissing anything here. We're gonna stay. We'll keep the building open until 10 o'clock if we have to. So you just stay. You do business with the Lord. Let him love on you. I did just feel like what Des was saying, just waves of love. Waves of love. Waves of love. Like he is imparting love this morning to his children and his bride. And so, Father, we just receive everything you have for us. Love, love, love. Unashamed love. You're not afraid to be seen with us, God. You don't have a certain amount of chances that you'll give us. God, you are just unfathomably beautiful and gracious. We just ask and we receive love this morning. Thank you, Jesus. So you just stay. We love you guys. We'll be at the prayer room this week. If you're there, we'll see you there. Love you guys.